Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me as I take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Hell of a lot to get into. Excited to be back in the saddle here locally. We're going to have a good time as we get you up to 10 o'clock. We'll take a trip around the Beltway, talk a little bit about the Wizards. We'll talk a little bit about the Washington Nationals, who just sent Robert Hassel packing to the Pittsburgh Pirates in exchange for cash or a player to be named later, a.k.a. we couldn't stand you. Just having a conversation with a guy, Toby Altizer, in the bullpen, co-host of the Locked On Nationals podcast. And I'm saying, Tobes, why do the Nats dislike Robert Hassel? Toby is a known Robert Hassel fan. Said, Linnell, brother, when he got sent down to the minors, the attitude wasn't attituding. And that's all I needed to hear. Maybe my memory is just totally gone. But last year, and I know they were just god-awful offensively, he was okay at the plate, it felt like, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm totally making it up. But Robert Hassel, who was a piece of that Juan Soto deal a couple of years ago, officially out of there. Really the only one of the group that came back in return for Soto, really the only one that never got it going consistently at the major league level. The Nats, they'll be out of their all-star break coming up tomorrow. They begin a series on the West Coast going up against the Oakland A's. We'll talk a little bit more about the Nats as we ease our way into the 8 o'clock hour. David Harrison, Locked On Commander, is going to join us top of the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I want to get into this. And this is something that in the world of sports talk radio, they consider it a everyman topic. And this is where I will tag in Metal Chris. You have kids, right? Our program director, CK's got kids. Everybody that works here feels like has kids except for me. The House passed a bill to make daylight savings time permanent. That is now going to go to the Senate. And I don't have kids, so I'm like thinking to myself how it would impact me. I would love it. Doesn't that mean like more night games? Technically, everybody loves a night football game. Wouldn't it mean more night football games? I know the big holdup in it is that you don't want to have, you know, middle school, elementary school children by themselves in the dark at the bus stop. I know that's something that would definitely be a potential drawback of like no daylight savings. But I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today with it. It's like, man, I didn't realize this. Arizona and Metal Chris, maybe you're more knowledgeable on this than I am.
I used to live in Arizona.
That's why I know. Do they not have?
They never did.
Had daylight.
They didn't have daylight savings. They didn't have Martin Luther King Jr. Day either.
That
which was weird. That was like the one state that didn't have it. Yeah,
that is interesting. Shout out to Arizona.
Boy, there's a funny bit Chris Rock did about that once, where he was like, "I don't know why you guys don't have it." He's like, "All you have to do is not work."
Oh, man. We are going to talk a little bit about the Netflix series Quarterback as well as we roll throughout the course of this show. And obviously, we all care because Jaden Daniels is featured in this. You know, I don't know if there's anything else Jaden can do to make me gush over him even more as a young man, as an athlete, and then as a son. Like, he just... The brother's got his stuff together, man. I know a lot of people out there like to, you know, throw shade at Miss Regina being in the background all the time. The reason JD5 carries himself the way that he does is because Miss Regina's floating in the background.
He ain't acting like Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, sure isn't. Oh, God. And there you go. I remember the rules I set last week. Those rules, by the way, anyone that didn't hear last Thursday night's Overtime, you know how on the X app you can mute words? I am muting the words Brandon and Ayuk here tonight for the entirety of the program. Metal Chris just said it, and we ought to hit the damn dump button as a result of it.
Call him BA from now on?
Yeah. Even look, Chris Russell calls him Baby Bob, and that I think that's the best nickname for him. Barney and Friends. Baby Bob.
I like that one.
Yeah, he is hilarious, man. You just totally sidetracked me by bringing up that name. It stops me literally.
You was talking about how Jaden has his mom around him, but he's still doing all right.
He was raised right. Yeah. He was raised right, man. His mom raised him well. His father raised him well. There's a reason he carries himself the way that he did, the way that he does. The one thing that quarterback showed me, and first and foremost, can I just gush? I know Netflix is taking it on the chin right now because the home run derby the other night, the lowest rated home run derby in the past 23 years. So Netflix is kind of wearing it right now. People are dunking on them. The audio was awful to start the broadcast the other night. But what they have in Netflix, and you got to give big credit to Peyton Manning, Omaha Productions, that is the best sports docuseries that has ever existed. And I know Hard Knocks, when it first burst onto the scene, gave us just unprecedented access. And that's what we love about this. You want to feel like you're a part of your favorite sports organization, right? With quarterback, not only do you feel like you're a part of your favorite sports organization, I feel like me and JD5 are on a first-name basis. I feel like I may walk out to Commander's Park for training camp, and Jaden may be like, what's up, Nell? I'll be like, what's up, Jay?
He's texting you to see what's going on a Friday night.
You know what I'm saying? But no, I just, first of all, the type of cat that he is, I don't know how many Friday nights he spends out and about. I just love the way he carries himself. But the access that we got, remember how traumatic, and he used this word. This is his words, not mine. Jaden described last year as traumatic. To where he's saying if the play where he dislocated his elbow, if it pops up on his timeline on any social media app, he can't even look at it. He scrolls past it. In reality, right, there are all of us at some point in our lives have dealt with trauma. And you know everyone's got a different traumatic experience. With your traumatic experience, you can picture it. I believe they call that post-traumatic stress disorder. You can literally see it in your brain in real time. Could you imagine having an injury like that where he looks over? If you watch, because they gave a kind of up close and personal look, he rolls over and he notices his arm is the other way. Then he starts screaming because he realizes, oh, bleep, this is really happening right now.
Well, it's also like that is his moneymaker. You know what I mean? Like, that's his career. Like, there's a lot of things that go through your head in an instant when you see something like that, you know?
For sure. He is, without a shadow of a doubt, the reason why this organization is going to be a perennial powerhouse for the next 15, 20 years, however long he is able to stay upright. He just, I can live with whatever result I see from Jaden Daniels on Sundays, Thursdays, Mondays, etc., because I know he has a process, and it's right. His routine is the reason why he had so much success in 2024. And when you think about how the injury impacts his day-to-day and impacts his routine, his schedule, because now you're having to work in multiple rehab sessions throughout the day. Instead of just do my VR work, get my lift in, eat my meal, etc., you're not having to weave in, you know, the PR work. He was in football hell last year.
Well, not to mention also, he's out there practicing with all the receivers, including a Terry McLaurin who was in a big holdout situation last year. Like, it looks so much better for him and the receivers this year just going in, right? And I know they haven't even started training camp or whatever, but like, it just already looks so much better.
It does, man. I just think his mental toughness in watching, you know, and they only show us so much, but it's not like he's faking it, right? What he did and the plan that they had for him, even while he was unable to participate in the games, like, that's why this kid is going to be successful. He is made up of all of the right stuff. All of the right stuff. And hopefully, and these were some of the reports coming out of OTAs, that give-a-damn level that he has, which I think is just off the charts, when it's your best player and the coolest guy on your team that's participating and moving that way as a pro, it becomes contagious. It becomes contagious. Talk about the World Cup, Lionel Messi last night. His aura is contagious. The guys on the pitch with him, whenever he's on the pitch, they feel like we've got a shot. He's got that type of, you know, impact on others. And I think Jaden Daniels is the same way. All of these great athletes are the same way. Even with like an ace starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. You know, when your ace is on the mound, the infielders feel the ball a little bit better. The outfielders feel the ball a little bit better. You get a little more confidence at the plate. Because you know, when Bruh Man comes out on the mound, it's up. You know what I'm saying? So I am, Jaden Daniels is a special dude. He is a special, special individual. I've really made this point and drove this point home every chance I've gotten here over the summer that I've been on the airwaves. He is going to be, you could say I'm being a Homer McFanboy. You could say I'm looking at the season through burgundy and gold colored lenses. Fine. He is going to be an MVP candidate during the 2026 season. That guy, we all forgot. I know we did, because he was in and out of the lineup all last year. You barely got to see him. Hop in the space-time continuum for a hot second and remember the highs that we reached in 2024. It's the same guy. It's the same guy. It's not like there's some major knee injury we're worrying about. It's not like, you know, he's had his athleticism sapped away. No. He's finally, for the first time in his career, going to be in an offense, right? It's tailor-made for his skill set. Him, play-action boots. I can't wait for it. I cannot wait for it. We doubling this? So he is going to be electric during the 2026 season. We're gonna have our guy David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. You could also read his work at WUSA9. He's going to join us coming up at about 8 o'clock as we'll get hot and heavy into the Washington Commanders. There's a Commanders item that I want to get to that's kind of non-football division. They released the uniform schedule. And as the youngest in charge, I know I have to pop it on the uniforms. I have to give my opinion on the uniforms. I know a lot of people don't care. That's fine. It's fine. I care. I have a bone to pick. I have a major, major bone to pick. And I got Mark Klaus, was just here in the studio. Shout out to Mark Klaus. Everything they're doing over there in Ashburn, they're batting 1,000 since the new regime has gotten here to town. They took a major L today. A major L today. I'll tell you why next. This is The Fan. Just getting rolling here on a Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Noah Willingham. We will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight in exactly 1 hour and 7 minutes. David Harrison, Locked On Commanders, as well as WUSA9. He's going to join the program as we preview training camp for the Washington Commanders. Man, it is here. I can smell the freshly cut grass. I can hear the cleats click-clacking on the concrete. Before we know it, man, we will be fully submerged in all football talk all the time. This Commander's front office has absolutely knocked it out of the park since they've gotten here to town, batting 1,000. Love everything that they've done. And when I say the front office, I'm talking about the business side of the operation as well. They released their uniform schedule for the 2026 season. And for a group that I think really has a pulse, or has the pulse of this fan base, I don't know if they do. New uniforms launched this offseason for Washington. The throwback whites, the Super Bowl whites rather, the Super Bowl burgundy uniforms, and then the Hailraiser alternate. The Washington Commanders will be wearing their Hailraiser alternate uniforms just twice during the 2026 season. I have to take back some of my anger. I saw the two games were Cincinnati and Atlanta. I forgot Cincinnati is a Monday night game. Those uniforms should only be worn at night. Anybody out there that's, and I know I'm a younger cat. There was this episode of SpongeBob where he kept saying, at night. But those uniforms should be worn at night. And they're being worn once at night, week 11 against Cincy. We don't see them again until week 15 at home against the Atlanta Falcons at 1 o'clock. What are we doing? Why are we not wearing the uniforms at night? Why is it not happening? Isn't that the point? The cute light show that they do. You make the stadium go pitch black. You have Dale Green hold the sphere. Isn't that what we do? I thought that was our bit. What is our bit with the dark uniforms? If we're going to treat the Hellraiser uniforms like some ugly stepchild using them against the Bengals and the Falcons, get rid of them. Get rid of them. I personally think both of the black alternate uniforms that have been introduced by this new regime, I think they both kick ass. I do. Technically, this regime didn't introduce the first ones, but you pick up what I'm putting down here. I'm hot under the collar about it. I'm stressing. We're in week 15. First of all, the fact that we're not going to see it until week 11 is like, yuck. But here's the thing. Here's their thought process. I feel like I know what they was thinking a little bit. Just a little bit. Like I know what they were thinking, just a little bit. Their primetime games this year at San Francisco, week 6, Monday night. You have at the Giants, week 10, Thursday night. Home for Philadelphia, week 8 out of the bye on Sunday night. And then you have the Cincinnati game on Monday night.
At night.
You know what I'm saying? Metal Chris, that's your kids like SpongeBob?
No, man, that's not, like, they're younger than that,
that's
man.
That's true.
K-pop demon hunters, all right?
Who? That sounded like something. Hit the dump button, PJ. I don't know what a K-pop demon. I don't know. He may have swore or not. I can't tell.
You've never heard of the K-pop demon hunters?
No, Chris.
No, it's a huge thing for kids,
hold
man.
On. You're saying like you've never
everybody
heard of
with kids
bread?
Knows what it is. Everybody with kids knows what
you've
it
never,
is.
Miss Rachel. I know about Miss Rachel now.
Yeah. No. K-pop Demon Hunters was a Netflix movie came out like a year ago about these pop singer girls from Korea that K-pop. Their songs prevent demons from entering the world, and then the demons get tired of getting their butts kicked by these girls who are also like ninjas. So they create a rival boy band to steal their fans and it's a whole thing.
At night.
Yeah, at night.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. I promised you we'd talk a little bit about the Washington Nationals. Robert Hassel, one of the major pieces in the Juan Soto deal a couple of years ago, no longer a member of the Nationals. What did they get back for him, and where did they ship him? I'll give you the details on that next. This is The Fan. One 800 636 1067 is the number. A Thursday night edition of Overtime. Youngest in charge. Lanelle Willingham manning the ship for you tonight as we get you up to 10 o'clock. As I've been teasing, David Harrison, Locked On Commanders podcast, as well as a contributor for WSA9. He's going to join us in about 56 minutes as we take a look at Washington Commanders training camp. Super duper excited. To do that. The Washington Nationals, they exit the All-Star break tomorrow where they'll begin a weekend series out in Oakland against the A's. And I think this Nats group right now is their game under 500, 3 weeks ahead of the All-Star break. What has to happen here in the next 3 weeks? Is there anything that can happen here within the next 3 weeks that make the Nationals real aggressive buyers at the deadline? Is there anything that they can accomplish over the next 3 weeks? And the timing of this conversation is fascinating. That's how I would put it. Because the last couple of series that they had ahead of the All-Star break, the Pittsburgh series, the New York series, the Houston series, which they took 2 out of 3 and the bats were talky hot. It feels like the group was struggling a little bit, but as they come out of the break, you have a series this weekend against Oakland. You then have a series against Colorado. Then you have a series at home, back-to-back against Arizona, and against Toronto before you have a series against the Braves going into the Major League Baseball trade deadline. So that Diamondback series is going to be, if I said the Diamondback series was going to be the determining factor in whether or not they made a move at the deadline, what would you say? Would you say I'm a casual baseball fan? That's how I look at it. Now, I am able to stomach what's happened to the Nats a lot better than some other folks, because I keep it 8-92 when we talk about the Nationals. We thought this group may lose 90 games this year. If we keep it real, right? So the fact that they have outkicked their coverage, so to speak, the fact that they clearly have shown that their new process at the plate in preparation works because they're crushing the ball at the major league level and the minor league level, that's all I care about. And I know what some people are going to say. Well, Linnell, this has been a historically bad bullpen. Historically bad. I get that. But even if the bullpen was good, even if the bullpen got you 5-6 more wins, the Nationals shouldn't be viewed as a World Series contender. That offense is legit. I think everybody that watches this group understands that. They're for real on offense. It's not just some hot stretch either. This is who they are. Even with how good their offense is, I don't believe the starting level pitching is good enough either outside of Foster Griffin. I know Cade Cavalli's had some moments, but like, these guys are only going 5 innings, 6, you know? So yeah, they've got to obviously look to improve this bullpen, but like, I look at it from the 1,000-foot view with this group. We're better than anyone across Major League Baseball thought we would be. And most importantly, I'll reiterate it here again, as I said a moment ago, their process that they're now moving with works, because you're crushing the ball at both the Major League level and the minor league level. Was listening to the tail end of G&D. They were having a conversation about whether or not CJ Abrams should be extended. It was something that came up. Someone called in and said that you should only extend C.J. Abrams if you move him to second base. Anybody out there that is still questioning whether or not you should extend C.J. Abrams, anybody balking at the idea of extending C.J. Abrams, stop talking about the Nationals. Can I politely say that?
I bet the learners are.
Yeah. But look, this is the thing about the learners. I don't even believe that, though. Here's the thing about the learners. Go back to 2012, 2013, 14, 15, that stretch of ball, that 7-year stretch from like 12 to 19, where they were competitive and amongst, you know, the perennial playoff contenders in the National League, the learners spent the cheese. I think the learners now have a group here in place with Toboni, Butera, and company, where they have enough young elite pieces talking about Wood, Abrams, etc., to where, yeah, they should feel like, hey, this is the appropriate time to go out and spend money. I'm sure that the learners aren't
balking. They do not want to get into a bidding war with other owners, though. You can tell.
Of course not, but they also, well, maybe they don't understand this. Here's the one thing that I always give them the benefit of the doubt for. This is like me opening up Pandora's box. And maybe it's me making an excuse for them, too. They never got to reap the benefits financially as an organization from winning the World Series. I would love to know. That's why my Wizards theory is going to come to fruition. I actually hope our esteemed program director is listening right now. This is a message for him too. This national situation, you brought up their ownership being unwilling to spend money. Think about the money that Ted Leonsis has spent on the Hennessy Lofts, on the new suites that have been put in that arena, on the renovations that have been made at Cap One. He's trying to earn some of that money back by way of a ticket gate. So if Anthony Davis and Trae Young are here for the foreseeable future, those are guys that move the needle and sell tickets. You know who else moves the needle and sells tickets? LeGoat James LeBron James. I keep saying it till I'm blue in the face. I promise you, I'm not under the influence of any illegal substance. This is my cognitive ability shining through here as a sports talk radio analyst. Let me get rowdy for a second, guys. The Wizards, on its surface, by itself, if they make the decision to sign Anthony Davis to a four-year, $275 million max, if they make that decision, by itself, it's damn near a fireable offense. And this is a regime that you all know I am extremely bullish on. I even gave him a cute nickname, the Wizvengers. Mike Winger, Travis Schlenk, Will Dawkins, the Wizvengers. That's just Chris in Hyattsville. And anytime you bring up the Washington Nationals, it's like Chris in Hyattsville climbs out of the hole. But seriously, they want to make money. They got money to make. Talking about the Wizards, right? LeBron James sells tickets. Them signing AD to that contract.
Do you think Josh Harris might have anything to say about it?
About what? About LeBron James?
Well, he's the Sixers owner.
It's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. So I had this thought the other night. I feel like all the owners in town are, they should be buddy-buddy. They all making money. They all benefit when each other's doing well. When the city's booming and everybody's outside going to games and that culture is in the air in D.C. sports, everybody benefits. Because if you're going to go to a Nats game, you're going to go to a Wizards game. If they're good, you know what I'm saying? So that is fascinating. I think Josh Harris is looking across at Ted Leon's
head. I'm just saying. Like everybody's talking about LeBron maybe going to Philly, so I don't know.
It for sure is
Remember, he brought Joel Embiid to like the first Commanders game. There was like a home game when he had just bought the team. Yeah.
I remember. Josh is an interesting cat. Bob Myers and here's the thing that Josh Harris and the Sixers have going against them relative to the LeBron James sweepstakes. They'd be not too good, but he wouldn't feel like he's got a lift enough.
But maybe that's the role LeBron needs to be moving to.
There's no way. His ego. He's like any star. He's like any star in the world of pro sports. That ego, boy.
Well, see, here's the thing I think about LeBron that maybe he's trying to do, and I don't know. I don't know the guy. I don't have any insider information. But he seems like the kind of guy that would want to get into either coaching or the front office, something to do with beyond just the player aspect of it, right? And we could see him maybe trying to get a role at whatever team he goes to, possibly trying to eventually, okay, I played there for a year, but then he wants to be the coach the next year or the next 2 years or what, you know, whatever. And so could you see him taking sort of a backseat role on a team like that he eventually wants to be coaching in the next few years?
I mean, him coaching?
Hell, yeah.
I don't see him.
He is a basketball genius. You cannot tell me
his kids are too young. His kid's getting ready to play his first year of college basketball.
Well, of course, Bronny would be on the Sixers, too, is my point, or whatever team.
Well, that's the problem. Bronny doesn't need his daddy.
He'd fit in real well with the young Wizards, right?
Bronny, if you're listening out there, I guess that'd be via the Odyssey app. We want you here. Chris is in Hyattsville. Chris, you want new pitching. Got to pop Chris up. You want improved pitching for the Nats. At what cost, though, Chris?
Well, first let me say, you said something about Ted Leonsis. Ted Leonsis was given $500 million to fix up the arena. So I know he may have spent some of his own money on it, but let's not act like he's paying out of his pocket to fix that arena. Mario Bowser getting that money from the D.C.
Well,
it's his money, too.
Well, the ticket gate the last 3 years has been piss poor. Because they've lost 60 games per year on average.
Well, not from the Caps or the Obie and the Hunt, though.
Fault? Is the fans' fault, or is that
No, fault? I'm not. Anyway. Hold on, Chris. You're misconstruing what I was even saying. They want as many stars here as possible next year because they want to sell tickets. I know you battered, bruised Wizards fans think there's no shot in hell that LeBron would ever come here. I'm sorry that you have PTSD and you don't think anything good could happen to the organization. But it definitely is something that's a possibility.
I just don't want to give credit to billionaires when they don't deserve it. But on the topic of the Nationals, all right, listen, they have the highest scoring offense in baseball. They may not be the highest scoring offense at the end of the season, but they are right now. So let's just say they maintain that course. Over the last 10 seasons, the highest scoring offense in baseball has made the playoffs every single time, including three World Series winners and two more teams that made the World Series. If they finish the season with the highest scoring offense and fail to attract anybody during the deadline, or they are a non-player during the deadline, that's malfeasance, in my opinion. You can't waste the highest scoring offense in baseball just because it's ahead of your plan. I'm sorry, Toboni. You know, things happen. You have to adapt. You have to change. So
here's the thing. I know it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, Chris, but hear me out. Remember when Adam Peters traded away draft capital for Marshawn Lattimore when they thought they were ahead of schedule? How did that work out?
It's a much different situation.
Much different situation, what level of pitching do you think they need to be a legitimate playoff team? Because obviously something in the rotation.
Anything better than the subpar below replacement pitching left that they're getting from Littell, Mikolas, and the rest of the bullpen. They literally just need replacement players who are not a net negative. But going back to Lattimore, Lattimore was unknown. He hadn't played. He was injured. Toboni's going to be trading for players who are pitching, playing right now, and healthy and performing.
It's a fascinating conversation. Chris, I appreciate you as always, my friend. I think it's going to be interesting. I think they do ultimately make a move at the deadline. I just don't know how significant that move needs to be. It's kind of my positioning on it. I agree with Chris. I do. The offense is so damn good that you have to, if you're in that front office, you have to think, well, damn, what could we be if we had better pitching? Can you give me the name of this? I am literally, is this another scorned, battered, bruised Washington Wizards fan? Call a trauma hotline. Don't call us. You need to be calling a trauma hotline, Juan in Fairfax. Why would you ever say something as ignorant like we don't need LeBron in D.C.?
Hold on. It's not ignorant because he's. You know how much ticket sales are going to go up? I'm going to go to a game. You know what I'm saying? The ticket sales are going to go up.
You're saying if LeBron comes to town, you ain't going to be able to fit in the arena. I hear that.
No, I'm not going to be able to fit in the arena. I'm not going to be able to defeat
them. I feel that. If that is
LeBron. And then he's going to take all the shine from AJ DeBonta.
The latter of what you said is where I have to say you're ignorant. Now, if you're actually concerned about your ability to get in the arena, I hear you on that. I have to. Because, look, I'm telling you, you'll be standing room only. I'm worried if I'm going to get a damn credential. Look, you're not the only one that's a little bit worried about that, is what I would say. But don't say that he would stunt the growth of AJ DeBonta. You're learning from arguably the greatest player of all time, a pro's pro, a guy who takes care of his body better than any other athlete in the history of pro sports. You're telling me that guy being around a machine.
A machine takes care of his body. That's it. A machine.
Oh, come on, Juan. What did LeBron do to you? You tell me what LeBron did to you.
He beat us in 2006 in the playoff.
I appreciate the call. I mean, that's incredible.
He had an answer for you.
No, he did have an answer.
You got to give him that.
At first, when he references not being able to get into Cap 1 Arena, I hear you on that. That is that's real. Because they're going to sell that place out every night. Without LeBron, I feel like. Now, this is where if you're Ted Leonsis, and shout out to you, Ted. We love the Miami.
Could you see Ovi and LeBron both playing in the arena next year? That'd be awesome, right?
You don't think Ovi is a part of the recruiting pitch of Monumental Sports Group? That's the other thing. It's not just the Wizards that are making this pitch. It's the entire Monumental Sports Group. This is a chance for a man to come to D.C. This is a place, it's the capital of the world. You can leave your legacy.
Not the world.
The country, rather. I know. USA got eliminated. We aren't the world. I get it. But the opportunity to leave a lasting legacy off the floor, I think, has got to be appealing if you're LeBron.
I think the bigger appeal to him would be one-upping MJ and doing what MJ couldn't do as a Wizard in his late career.
I think it's a reality. I know a lot of you scorn beat-down Wizards fans. Don't think don't think that there's a shot. If you're scared, go to church. That's my messaging for anybody out there who's afraid of LeBron James coming to town, saying it's going to stunt AJ DeBance's growth. Stop it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. It segues this beautifully. I just sat here and, as the kids say, I glazed the Washington Wizards. I'm about to drop the hammer on them next. They're sending mixed messages, mixed signals. I don't like it in my dating life. I don't like it with my basketball team. I'll tell you how next. Boy, do I have a bone to pick with Will Dawkins, Mike Wenger, Travis Schlenk, and the old Washington Wizards. Yes, I do have a bone to pick. That bone to pick just got a little bit more sharp. Just got sharper as Caleb Wilson, you know, lottery pick, top four pick, you know, playing summer league games because he's 19 and he doesn't need to be load managed because the Bulls aren't a scared ass organization. If you're scared, go to church. You know how many First Baptist churches there are around here? Ladies and gentlemen, you know how many First Baptist churches we have around here, guys? You have every ability, Mike Wenger, Will Dawkins, to go to church if you ultimately are scared. I don't get this idea of sitting youngsters during summer league. I don't understand it at all. What is your point? What are you accomplishing? The last three seasons, you've lost on average like 62 games a year. And you believe that sitting guys is the way to go. You're trying to establish a culture centered around toughness, defense, competition, yet you are stripping your young guys of an opportunity to compete. Trey Johnson should still be playing. Will Riley should still be playing. And most importantly, AJ DeBance should still be playing. I don't know if I'm going to... Am I going to go with DeBance or DeBance all year? I feel like every time I say it, I'm just going to switch.
DeBance.
DeBance. DeBance sounds cool, though. But I hate being called Lionel, so let me not do that. I don't understand it, man. Trey Johnson scores 27 in the opener. He gets sat down the very next game. Why? Because they're scared of him getting hurt. Trey Johnson couldn't guard me off the dribble right now. And obviously I'm being facetious when I say that. But the bottom line is, for a guy, we know he could score. And he looked damn good offensively in his limited action, right? But we know Slim could score. His issue is on the defensive end of the floor. Summer League provides him live game reps playing defense, albeit against guys that aren't probably going to be a member of team's rotations this year. But damn, he needs the reps. Will Riley, someone that organizationally they're high on, maybe in consideration to be the backup point guard. Let him play. Let him get defensive reps. AJ DeBance, he's even come out and said it. He is going to have to get better and become more comfortable playing off the basketball during the regular season, because you have Trae Young, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. Yeah, see what I did there? I'm manifesting. That's what they call it. I'm manifesting LeBron to D.C. But no, in all seriousness, he's going to have to get more accustomed to playing off of the ball with those two on the team, and those three if they get LeBron. Why is that important in summer league? Well, in summer league, you can get him reps. Guess what? Off the ball. The other side of the coin is this. You can also get him as many on-ball reps as you want, something that he's not going to have as much of an opportunity to do during the regular season. I don't get it at all. You can't talk about toughness, competition, defense, grittiness, and you're load managing kids that can't even drink yet. And they're getting load managed. You can't even go to Capital City Liquor on the corner over here and grab a 40. And we're resting them. Will Dawkins, I love you guys with every ounce of love I have in my body. Y'all have made the viewing experience, the fandom, worthwhile. You're dead ass wrong for this decision. And there's nothing anybody can say to me to convince me otherwise. I don't want to hear about what if they get hurt. What if they get hurt, Linnell? Like I said, Google it. If you've got a smartphone, Google churches near me. First Baptists near me. If you're scared, go to church. Wes is in D.C. Wes, what's up, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, man. You on fire, man. Just want to chime in because, you know, Western D.C. is a hooper. You know, I still got hoop dreams, 37 years old. You know what I'm saying? 88, baby. You know how we do.
I feel it.
So, you know, I'm going to just flip it and agree with you. You know, it's business. So, it's like, get the scouting report. Who cares if they can see what he can do? If you're scared, go to church. I got a good church, From the Heart Ministry, on Allentown Road.
On Allentown, hey, look, and first of all, hey, anything on Allentown Road is good with me, brother.
You know what I'm saying? So, I'm going to go ahead and flip it. You know, I talk to the producers and stuff like that.
Oh, you were angry at first. Oh, so he was tripping at first. Oh, look at that. Look at that. You know what they call you in the industry? They call you a flip-flopper. Well, if you're a black youngster fan, he'd call you a hip-hopper. I appreciate you, Wes. 1-800-636-1067. I just saw a tweet that came across my timeline that just pissed me the hell off. I'll read it to you next here on The Fan. It's overtime here on The Fan. Youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, back in the saddle as we get you up to 10 o'clock tonight. David Harrison, Locked On Commanders podcast and contributor to WSA9. He's going to join us in about 23 minutes, coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. See, we got a couple calls filing in. And I mean what I said. I hope you all don't think I'm out here fronting. Y'all know how I get down. I keep it as real is. You know what I'm saying? I love Will Dawkins. I love Mike Winger. I love Travis Schlenk. I love the entire Wizards organization, man. Seriously, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. From down to the PR, Miss Ketsia, Matt Quinn, Zandro. Like, I really am good people over there. The folks that made the decision to load manage 19, 20, and 21-year-olds? All right now. Can't get with it. It's embarrassing. I don't get the mentality, and I know what they're going to say. And you know what pisses me off even more about this? Is I'm watching Caleb Wilson for the Chicago Bulls go Kanye crazy in summer league. Watching Cam Boozer get buckets. The Wizards' goal should have been to win the Vegas Summer League and to teach your youngsters how to win. Now, I get it, right? Maybe they're a little bit more scared and reluctant on the injury front because of the Alex Sarr thing that just happened. They just lost Alex Sarr in a pickup game like a month ago. So I understand that you can get hurt playing, but you can get hurt in practice. You would rather them get hurt in practice or a game? I'm asking. 1-800-636-1067. Mark is in Clinton. What's up, Mark?
Hey, thank you, guys. Hey, Linnell.
What's going on?
You're a lot younger than me. That's cool. But what I'm saying is, what you don't get, in my opinion, not saying you're wrong, what they're doing is, hey, remember Cooper Flagg played 2 games and he was out?
Mm-hmm.
What I knew was, we had our guy 2 games, he's out. But when you say, oh, well, I want him to keep playing, is that a radio thing so you can have segments? because he did not need to play anymore. And I'm not attacking you.
And here's the thing. If you've been listening, I think I've done a good job explaining. It's not about being a radio thing or doing it for clicks. I don't move that way. The bottom line is, if you're up in front of the podium as an organization preaching competition, toughness, defense, you're sending me mixed messaging by load managing. You have lost, on average, 60 games per year. And I understand you don't get any type of reward for winning Summer League, but damn. You got to show your youngsters how to win. Have them playing meaningful basketball ahead of the regular season. The late game reps that they're getting, that they're not going to get the ability to get during the regular season, because we know Will Riley's not taking no damn shot at the end of regulation. We know Trey Johnson is probably not going to get the shot at the end of regulation. So getting them those real game reps, I think, is invaluable, man.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's fair. Only thing I would say to you, as a person that watches this like you do, I said to the, when they played the last game, I said, he's not playing anymore. And I understood it. But you're saying, oh, let him go again. I'm not talking about injury. You know what you just said? You can get that in practice.
But here's the thing. You can get hurt in practice too. So if the reason is not, if the reason they're not playing them is because you don't want them to get hurt, well, you can get hurt in practice. Here's the thing, for the three guys that they sat in particular, Mark, I don't know how old you are, brother. Trey Johnson would probably struggle guarding you.
I'm 58.
Trey Johnson would probably struggle guarding you on the ball. He needs real game defensive reps. Will Riley's somebody that they're potentially going to give an opportunity to be the backup point guard. His handle doesn't looks a little loose, doesn't it? I want him getting reps on the ball. That's all.
So you can get some other people in here, and then I'll call you back if my call is good enough where I can get back on. The only thing I'm just saying is they're like, okay, well, we're done here. They're not trying to win that thing, Linnell. They're just trying to get in and get out.
I think that mentality is flawed for a group that is purposely lost over the past three seasons. That's all. I hear what you're saying, though. I totally get it. I understand the risk that comes along with it, for sure. For sure.
Okay, so thanks for letting me on.
Yes, sir.
I get back on. I appreciate it, as always,
Mark. I'll talk to you soon, brother. 1-800-636-1067. I suck and keep blowing the clock out, so we got to get back on schedule here. Let's do that. I got a tweet I want to read. PJ, did you want to chime in? Because I know we were having some conversations in the break about this. I'm surprised the caller, the first thing that he said is, I don't know if this is some radio. You're doing this because you're on radio. This is how I feel.
Yeah. I love that you're real. My question for you, are you a proponent of teams playing their starters in preseason games?
So, and this is, I could really speak to it because whether you all realize it or not, I'm not just semi-fat and big for no reason. I was once a Division III, Division II college football player. You can't get ready to play football without playing football, especially at the quarterback position, PJ, where in practice, it is such a stark contrast from what you see in a game, that, yeah, I'm pissed that Jaden Daniels only played one possession in preseason.
You think he should play all three games this year?
I'm not. I would play him in two of the games. I would play him for a quarter in week one, and I'd play him for the entire half in week two, and then I'd sit him. They also have joint practice work. That's the other reason I was a little ticked off, PJ. They lost the joint practice opportunity with the Ravens last summer. Yeah. Took invaluable opportunities and reps away from Daniels. Now, I get it. He's the franchise. If he gets hurt, we may be out of a job, if I'm being real. But no, he's a needle mover. He's so important to the future of the franchise. I just think at quarterback in particular, man, I don't want his first game reps of game speed to be week one against Philly, because Jalen Carter's is coming.
Sure.
That's the other thing that I'm scared to death about as a Commander fan. We're going with Nick Allegretti at center, and we're facing probably the best defensive tackle duo in the NFL in week one, talking about Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. Good luck. Good luck. 1-800-636-1067. I told you there was a tweet that's got me hot under the collar. I'll read it for you next. They're on the Fan. It's overtime here on the Fan, getting you up to 10 o'clock. I told you it was a tweet. I got under my skin. So deep under my skin that like a beast thing. You may use tobacco to get it out. Adam Silver, who I'm already pretty mad at right now. First of all, let's just hop in the space-time continuum for a second. Adam Silver and the NBA have been conducting an investigation into the Clippers allegedly circumventing the salary cap for Kawhi Leonard. They've been investigating that for 11 months. 11 damn months. We heard from Adam Silver 2 days ago saying that, yeah, this investigation would be wrapping up momentarily, soon. They launched a new investigation today into the free agent contract of Gary Trent for $64 million with the Milwaukee Bucks. Why are they investigating that? I think it's because they had a handshake deal under the table when he signed for the vet minimum the year prior. I think he had a handshake deal with GM John Horst that said, hey, stick it out playing on the minimum this year. When we flip Giannis, we'll get you your money. So I think that's what's happening. We'll see what is the ultimate outcome of that investigation. But they've been investigating the Clippers for 11 months. Yet Adam Silver had the time to interfere in WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert's investigation, overruling a decision that she made. So Adam Silver, get your priorities in line, right? Please get your priorities right. And then the second piece of this, mind your damn business. Alex Sherman of CNBC was out at Game Plan, which is a conversation being had in New York, I believe, on behalf of Boardroom. And Adam Silver said this. He said at Game Plan, he wants LeBron to make a decision soon because the league needs to make a schedule and teams and media companies are getting antsy. You know who shouldn't give a rat's ass about that? LeBron James. In LeBron James's camp. Rich Paul and company. They shouldn't care at all. I'd tell Adam Silver's alien looking ass to kiss my ass if I was LeBron. You're going to rush my decision? You're going to rush me? I earned this right to be an unrestricted free agent. And you're going to rush me into making a decision because of the schedule? Huh? Come on, man. We're talking about the king. We ain't talking about, you know what I'm saying? You know, we ain't talking about one of the mediocre stars of the league. We're talking about the face of your league, LeBron James. And we're going to rush him into making a decision? Come on, man. Come on. But I keep telling y'all what the holdup is. AD's not extension eligible until the middle of August, guys. We got a lot of time. If LeBron can get to training camp, if LeBron can get to NFL training camp without a deal, then I really think he's going to milk this decision. Because at that point, he's out of the public eye. NFL training camp's going on. That's going to be the talk of every sports talk radio show, every sports television show. It's going to be camp. And LeBron watch is going to now be in the background. Right now, it's at the forefront. And he spoke today at Fanatics Fest and gave an update on his status. And he said, look, I'm not ready to ultimately make a decision yet. And I totally understand that from the perspective of one LeBron James. Take your time. You've earned it. But for Adam Silver to come out and say that ridiculous stuff that he said, come on, brother. Do better. Please. Please. We also got some news, Major League Baseball division. MLB set for its earliest opening day in history if the lockout doesn't happen. We know the lockout's happening. Anybody that's followed this, by the way, the lockout is, it's inevitable at this point. They will 1,000% be having a work stoppage next year in Major League Baseball. That's why the WNBA, man, you need to get your act together, Kathy. Talking to you, Ms. Engelbert. Get your ducks in a row. They have such a unique opportunity to capitalize on Major League Baseball's fan base not having anything to watch. Now, I'll say this. Now, it's not me being a race baiter or any other stupid name you all call me for having, you know, deep, thought-provoking comments and things to say. Definitely feels like the folks that follow Major League Baseball a lot different than the folks that follow the WNBA. In terms of, we would like to do a Venn diagram, right, of, like, overlapping sports fans. Like, most NBA fans like NFL. Most college football fans like college basketball. How many fans of the W are fans of Major League Baseball and vice versa? Probably very, very few. So it's a unique audience in terms of the crossover ability. But I do believe that the WNBA has a massive opportunity coming up next summer, next spring, when this inevitable work stoppage ultimately happens for Major League Baseball. They can pick up the crumbs and pick up the pieces from a viewership standpoint. Just how I feel about it. Just how I feel. 1-800-636-1067. Speaking of Major League Baseball, as we've mentioned, Nats back in action tomorrow night. They begin a weekend series with the Oakland Athletics. This second half of the season for the Nationals, it's going to be must-see TV. If you're a baseball casual like I am and refuse to watch all 162, first of all, welcome. I'm happy that we're not alone. The Athletics shouldn't have much of an issue with them. Shouldn't have much of an issue with Colorado. Can I be honest? This is the time going into that Arizona series. They need to sweep both Colorado and Oakland. Build a cushion so that it's not the end of the world if you lose the Diamondback series. So it's not the end of the world if you lose the Braves series, if you lose the Phillies series. That schedule gets tough, though, man. That's why I know a lot of folks are like, well, look at the offense in the first half of the year, guys. Well, they didn't have the second half schedule that they're going to have where they're playing competitive series after competitive series after competitive series. So we'll see if the offense can remain in fuego. But I don't know. All I know is this. If they mortgage their future at this deadline in any way, I'd be pissed if I was a Nats fan. Just my thoughts on it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We got a lot more to get to as we roll up to 10 o'clock here tonight. We haven't mentioned the World Cup at all. I believe we briefly mentioned it in the opening segment. What Messi did last night, and I don't want to just make it about Messi. It's about Argentina as a country, their late match heroics that we have seen specifically here in this knockout stage, out of this world. World Cup final officially set for Sunday. Argentina, Spain, the get-in price via TickPicks, $7,500.
I'll take three.
About to say, even if I had that type of money, and I guess this is why I get called a flip-flopper all the time. After the United States won their opening round match, PJ, I was like, man, that environment, that atmosphere was so lit. I think I may prefer to go to a World Cup final with the U.S. playing in it than the Super Bowl. Somebody should have slapped me immediately.
I kind of agree. I think it's peak sporting event.
Just because the environment.
How
bro.
Much would you be willing to go on a sporting event? Absolute max. So
and we're talking about like if
Commander Super Bowl, like whatever your top sporting event is, what would you drop?
Man, I'm a guy that like. First of all, I wouldn't want to go watch the Super Bowl. This last week, a little bit. I think the viewing experience of an NFL game is so much better at home because. There's too many blanks to fill in when you're at the stadium, right? Like, you don't know all the penalties. There may be issues on the loudspeaker. You may miss something. I feel with watching it on TV, you get everything. You can't miss something unless the camera guy just sucks, which we don't have that problem anymore because, like, we don't get the D-broadcast teams anymore. Right. So we don't have those issues. But, like, I think that's fascinating. I don't know. I'm kind of tap dancing around the question.
We can save it for next break. You think about it. I'll give you some time to mull on it.
That's what you call a tease in the sports radio business. How much would you be willing to drop on a sporting event? That in lieu of Spain and Argentina coming up Sunday in the World Cup final. Get in prices, 7,500 big ones. How much would you be willing to throw down to get into your top sporting event? That's next here on The Fan.